following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 26, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. And it was a nice day out, and then it rained for a while, and here comes the sun again to make it all nice and hot, steamy, and humid. And so, a happy late September in the state of Alabama. And man, do we have a fun show on tap for you today. We're covering a little bit of everything on this free-for-all Friday, which is what we do on Friday afternoons. Christian, happy Friday, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Friday, man. We got the Ryder Cup starting right now. We got the TV off to my left, your right, able to watch the Americans try and make
hopefully they start playing
an early comeback. Yeah, like, I think their flight may have been delayed.
This is they're just now starting, right?
Correct.
Okay, good.
This is the first of the events.
We won't talk about the 3-1 morning the Europeans had.
No, they just had to wake up. They wanted to get off to a you know, Europeans, they're already awake. It was early
for
the Americans.
Got the Americans.
Yeah, that's all that it is. Yeah. But no, happy Friday. Man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life tonight. I guess I actually have to listen to, like, the Auburn High Sports Network.
I'm sorry.
Tonight, with Lee Scott Academy not playing a game. And so, yeah. No, it's date night tonight to make up for the weekend.
Yeah.
Got to buy yourself a little bit of time.
I don't blame you. With the weekend coming up, yeah, you got to get your brownie points tonight because the lady's not going to see you much tomorrow or Sunday. So, yeah, go ahead and get
it in
now.
She might, but she'll know exactly where I'll be.
Yeah, that's right. She's more than welcome to be a part of it. But
correct.
She has to be a part of it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But no, we have a fantastic show on tap, man. We're about to call Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, get him on the phone lines, as we do every single Friday to start the show. We get to talk about a fantastic weekend, get his picks. Maybe talk a little golf. I'm not sure if he's a big golf guy, but just his thoughts in general with the Ryder Cup before we begin. A little bit of a Auburn-Texas A&M preview at 2:30. Again, not diving too big into it because, again, it's kind of taken up the entire week, and that is what hour number two at 3:30 is for. We're talking about some high school games before we give our 10 picks of the college football weekend once again here today.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Again, Christian's about to call Lee Sterling, get him on the phone and get his best bets of the weekend in college football. We'll also have a game of the week for you that you can get on him. And so if you want to dabble into that side of things, Lee Sterling and Paramount Sports is the place to be. So we'll get him on the phone lines in just a moment. And yeah, we'll talk a little Auburn A&M as we have through the past couple of days this week and really just what needs to happen, right? What can Auburn do? What does Auburn need to do to try and get back in the win column heading on the road? Back-to-back weeks, another top 10 team in the SEC. That's what Auburn has in front of them coming up tomorrow in College Station, Texas. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, we'll plug our high school stuff, talk about some big results last night around the state of Alabama, some other big games coming up tonight in the state of Alabama as well for high school football. And then I got to try and keep the streak alive and keep my lead in our 10 picks coming up in hour number two. But let's start our Friday show as we do every Friday during the college football season. We got our man Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. What's going on, Lee? How are you on this Friday?
I'm good. Have you been stealing some of my picks?
You're on a nice tear right now, my friend.
Well, AL.com.
What about it?
You go to AL.com every Thursday.
Oh.
Joe versus the pro. Yeah, I don't know if you knew this. So Joseph Goodman, who was here in Miami at the time, used to be Joe versus the pro. We had it going on for like 10 years. I was supposedly the pro when I won. I was the pro when I lost. I was a schmo. And he was average, supposedly average Joe. Most of the time he was average Joe or worse. And we did that for over a decade. And then when he moved to Alabama, you can check out AL.com every Thursday, Joe versus the pro. And he added a friend of his, the hero, the kid who goes to Harvard. And so it's the three of us making picks every single Thursday. So been a good year there for us too.
Love that. Well, man, we had a lot of fun with your picks last week, and there are some really, really good games on the schedule across the Southeastern Conference. Before we get into those, tell the people what you got going on as we're wrapping up the month of September, and we all know what next month is.
Yeah, so we've got a couple different promotions. So first of all, UFC. We've been red, red hot. We won 13 of the last 16 cards. If you like the UFC, you want to bet it, Perth, Australia is the place. Tomorrow starts at 6 o'clock, and we've got seven selections. That's $37. So different sport to bet on. We've been unusually successful there. So you want to try us out, seven selections, $37. Football, we have not lost a game since Sunday. 6-0 in the NFL since then, so we are on a roll here. You want to get on with us, September to remember. 1 week of our phone service plays, you're going to get probably 12 to 14, 13 to 15 selections a week. All you need to do is go to ParamountSports.com, September to remember, put in coupon code SAVE100, $97. You're going to get 13 to 15 plays from tonight all the way through Monday night. And then coming up, not October, we call it October.
Yeah, baby.
Every game through Halloween. October 31st, 5 weeks, use that same coupon code SAVE100, just $497, and you're going to get all of our executive phone service plays where we rate them from 10 to 50 units from tonight all the way through the end of October. Works out to less than $100 a month, $100 a week, should I say, just one place. ParamountSports.com.
The best in the business, Lee. Let's dive into your picks of the college football season, starting it off with South Carolina and Kentucky. There's a lot of people that have South Carolina on upset watch. You feel like Mr. Stoops is bound for one upset just about every single year. Does it happen on Saturday afternoon?
You know, I've labeled this game here the future fired coaches bowl. Why do I say that? Because Shane Beamer doesn't win this game. Have you seen their schedule, upcoming schedule?
It's brutal.
It's LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, and A&M. Mm. I can't see him win any of those games. So I think that Shane Beamer, if he's smart, he is probably on the chopping block if he loses here and the rest of those games. And he might want to think about going back into the ACC where it's a lot easier to win. And you go where your dad was. I think they would welcome him with open arms. I just don't think they're playing the arms race here. Don't have the money. And then on the other side, you got to have a situation where Kentucky, you know, they might be the least talented team right now in the SEC. So Mark Stoops, he could be in real trouble here. Things go south. So I do believe, though, South Carolina was ranked 11th a couple of weeks ago. I told everyone they're overranked. They should not be, maybe even in the top 25. But they're better than Kentucky. Kentucky with a backup quarterback and Kentucky with that pass defense that ranks 125th out of 134 teams. Ugh. Are you kidding me? They give up 270 to Toledo, 330 to MAC bottom feeder Eastern Michigan here.
Mm.
Hint, hint, this is one of my games for my clients. South Carolina, big, 38-17.
South Carolina taking down Kentucky. We continue on through the SEC slate. The Tennessee Volunteers still trying to lick their wounds and overcome their collapse against the Georgia Bulldogs. They played UAB last week, which is not the UAB that we've come to know and love over the past several seasons. Taking a very tricky road trip, Lee Sterling, to to Stark Vegas, taking on an undefeated Mississippi State team Saturday afternoon. Tennessee favored by 7.5.
So last year, this line was 26 points. I know the game was at Tennessee, but just shows you, and they didn't cover, but just shows you how far as the perceived differences since last year in both of these teams. Now, Tennessee may not be quite as good as last year, but they're right up there. I mean, they had Georgia. Just there were 6-7 plays in that game. If one of them goes their way, I think they win the game. So sometimes, you know, a team is improving and is right there, and they're still under the radar, and I think that's Tennessee. Both teams play at a very fast pace of play. Top 20 in the country means more possessions. You can see higher scores here. Mississippi State, you can't deny the improvement. They're 4-0 straight up and against the spread. But they have a bunch of players here that have never played in an SEC game. And it's a different level, different speed the game is played. And guys like Fluff Bothwell. I mean, this is an all-first-name team here, guy.
Oh, yeah.
Fluff. I mean, that can't be his real name. I'd love to find out where he got that name. But Fluff and a bunch of other players who transferred in may not be able to find the sledding as easy as they found it in the first four games here. So he was a G5 transfer, and they're going to go against a unit giving up just 2.6 yards per carry. I like Tennessee here. I think they pull away 35-25.
Lee, looking at it right now, they said when Fluff was born, they called him Fluffy, but then his dad changed it to Fluff when he started playing football.
Pretty tough. You want to go up to a girl and you want to be taken seriously, right?
Yeah, and your name.
I am Fluff.
I am Fluff. I mean, that seems like the winning recipe to me. Moving on, this is a game that was flipped when the lines first came out. LSU was the team that was favored by right around a point or a point and a half. Now it has flipped, even with Trinidad Chambliss, the starting quarterback from Ferris State, starting at Ole Miss. Ole Miss, now a point and a half favorite. Can Lane Kiffin finally get over the hump and win that big game in Oxford?
Well, I do love their quarterback. I think Trinidad Chambliss is really good, and I think if he wins this game, he's going to stay the starter. So that's something to watch. I know he's saying that Austin Simmons gets to keep his job when he's 100% healthy, but don't buy it. I'm telling you that right now, if they can pull off the upset. Now, they do have a really good offense. They might be the best of the four units of the two teams, but after that, LSU's defense is right there. The LSU offense might get it kicked into high gear. I think that Garrett Nussmeier is due for a big game. And then I think that the defense is the problem for Ole Miss. They've given up 33.5 points in the two SEC games so far. So I think that they can be had. I expect Nussmeier to have a huge game here. And then you might see Lane Kiffin. He might melt down and, you know, start going for it mid-third quarter if they fall behind by 7-10 points. So that usually doesn't work out for him here. I think class prevails. LSU here, 34-28.
We got Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports at ParamountSports.com with us here to start the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Some saying this is the second biggest game of the weekend in college football. It's Kalen DeBoer and the Alabama Crimson Tide heading to Athens to take on Georgia and Kirby Smart. Dogs favored by 3. Can the Tide pull off the upset at night in Sanford Stadium?
Well, I mean, Georgia's won 33 straight. I mean, it is a really tough place to play in. But, you know, I said this before and after I watched the Tennessee game and I had nothing on the game. I think Tennessee was the better team. And sometimes you can look at point spreads. How's the team done to tell you if they're better or worse than they are perceived? Since the first game of last year, Georgia's 3-12-1 against the spread. They are not – they're good, but they're not the same team they were a couple years ago. Alabama, not there either, but they did give up 230 in the first game against Florida State. Teams improved the most after that first game between the first and the second game. So that and also their running game with Jam Miller might be a little bit better here. You know, this Georgia run defense really good, giving up just 2.7 yards per carry, but with Jam back might give them enough balance here to be able to do some damage here against Georgia. You know, this Georgia secondary, I think, is their weakness, and Alabama's top three receivers right there after Ohio State, top 3-0 in the country. So I'm going to take Alabama here. I think the wrong team's favored, 27-26. Could be one of those great games, just like it was last year.
Well, Lee, the teams that or the team that people really, really care about, you got on here, the game down here with the Auburn Tigers going up to College Station, Texas. The Aggies favored by 6.5 points following a heartbreaking loss to Oklahoma and the Sooners. Can Jackson Arnold, Hugh Freeze, do they find a way to get it done, or are you going to break all of our hearts here on this Friday afternoon?
Well, it was just sad that a trick play that should have been illegal was allowed. So
yep.
Officials should know the rules. I mean, these are supposed to be the best officials in the land. You know, when they were notified before the game, they were considering running that play. They should have. If they didn't know the rule, you look it up. You ask others. Even if you have to make a call, you do what you got to do. So that part is frustrating. They were right there. I mean, that was a hard-fought game. Now they got to face an A&M team. Here's what you're going to face in A&M. Two receivers, Mario Craver. I thought he was going to be good. I didn't realize how good he was going to be. He's taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
He can those deep crossing routes really good at, and also going down the field. Same with KC Concepcion. Those two guys have combined for 33 catches, almost 700 yards, and 7 touchdowns. What makes their passing game so good? They're given time. The offensive line is good, but you'll never hear the average person talk about this. I watched their running backs. Blitz pickup, maybe best in the country. Their top two guys in the backfield, they stand up and blast safeties, cornerbacks, and linebackers when they blitz. So you're going to have to disguise your blitzes here. I wouldn't blitz a whole lot here. I would play as much zone, just more tried to hide the coverages more than coming after the quarterback. So I don't think A&M has played their best game. This is a really tough game for Jackson Arnold's teammates. I mean, he's coming off Arnold playing his former team, getting sacked 10 times, got to go home, practice all week, get on a plane and face another quality team with over 100,000 fans.
I don't like where this
is going.
If they get
it done, I know, I hate to say it, A&M 31-20.
Oh, so the right team is favored, according to Lee Sterling.
Yeah. Pick by not enough.
Yeah, you have A&M to win and to cover, right, Lee?
Right.
Man.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Man, that's okay. That's all right. Look, you've got a winning record this year
for
a reason.
Like I see it.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Called it last week.
There's
yeah.
a reason
so
you're good.
We're rooting for you, though. Trust me. Being from the state of Texas and not going to A&M, I don't ever root for A&M.
Well, I love that. Well, we know you're a fan of Auburn when you have to be and when you want to be, but money, you got to put food on the table. We understand how that idea works. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. We're picking big games across the SEC. You've got a sneaky one, though, that's your game of the week for people that give you a call right now.
It is Vandy and Utah State. Vandy has been great. Utah State been really good. They upset Air Force playing at a high level with Bronco Mendenhall as their first-year coach. So you want to get that game. First 10 callers, call 800-400-9741. I'll give them Vandy, Utah State. You know, I also like the game a lot tonight, Florida State and Virginia.
Yeah.
I'll give them both games for free.
How about
call
that?
Call 800-400-9741. First 10 callers get it for free. And you want to hop on board, we have a UFC card going this weekend from Perth, Australia, 7 selections, just $37. We won 13 of the last 16 cards in the UFC. In football, we have won every single game, 6-0 since last Sunday in the NFL. So you want to hop on board, check out all the specials, just one place, ParamountSports.com.
Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. We love having him. We love starting our Friday shows with him here in Auburn, Alabama, and always appreciate your time, my friend. Enjoy the weekend, and we look forward to having you on again next Friday.
Okay, guys. Take care. Be safe.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, and ParamountSports.com. Check him out again. He's going to give you Vandy, Utah State. He's also going to throw in Florida State and Virginia. Sneaky good game tonight, Christian Griffin, in college football. Check him out, ParamountSports.com, or give him a call right now, 800-400-9741. If you're looking to have a little bit more fun with football this weekend, Lee Sterling is the man to talk to, 800-400-9741.
He's better than Scotty's putter so far, I can promise you that.
He's better than any American with a club in his hand right now. I mean, this is just, this is embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Scotty just missed about an 8-footer to get another shot back.
Of course he did. And Burns and Cantley are just scrapping to survive against McElroy and Lowry. What a great pairing for the Europeans going up against the Americans there. Look, I like Burns and Cantley, but when you put Rory and Shane Lowry together, I mean, they're almost undefeated, and that's a really bad matchup for the Americans.
It's got the firepower, and it has the emotion as well.
That
this type of, not tournament, but essentially this type of battle allows you to have and almost willingly wants you to have.
And then you've got guys like this with Oberg and Hofgaard that are going up against Young and Thomas, who just can't hang either. I mean, Hogard and Oberg are just Oberg played really good this morning. He played with Fitzpatrick, I think, and they just steamrolled. They played Scheffler and whoever Scotty played with this morning.
I think it was Ben Griffin.
Yeah, so we'll keep you updated on the Ryder Cup. We'll talk about this plus all the other things coming up this weekend across the greatest weekend in sports in 2025. We talk about that coming up next as we're just underway here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com, who joins us every Friday during football season to get the show started. We also bring him on periodically throughout the rest of the season. He joins us the Friday of Super Bowl Sunday. He joins us for a couple of other events throughout the season. So really enjoy having him on in a perfect way to start our Friday shows during the football season. Again, if you're looking to get some picks for the weekend and sprinkle a little bit around and have a little bit more fun responsibly, of course, you can check him out, ParamountSports.com. You can also give him a call if you would like to and get his free picks for this weekend. Call him at 800-400-9741. And Christian, this is the weekend that we've talked about for months now.
Yeah.
It's here. It is literally here. Starts with, for me personally, tonight with a big game, Auburn High versus Moody. Some other big high school games that we'll talk about in just a little bit. I know you're off tonight and going to get to enjoy even some of the college football going on tonight. But then tomorrow and then Sunday, plus the Ryder Cup on top of foot. I mean, is it crazy to say there's too much going on? Like, there's too much going on, but in a good way. It's impossible not to find something to enjoy this weekend.
This weekend feels like one of those sports eclipses where you're playing every single sport on the exact same day. That's kind of how it feels, minus
the sports
the
big,
that's what it is, the equinox, not the
four major sports play.
Yes, but rather than it being, maybe this is the eclipse, it's not the equinox because it's not it's not the big four. But, I mean, it even started last night for those, I mean, NFL fans, not necessarily teams that are overly popular around here, but I mean, what more could you have truly wanted in a game that you didn't really care about? It goes down to kicking a game-winning field goal.
It was gross up until the last quarter, basically.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, the Cardinals woke up. Oh, the Cardinals are in the lead. Psych. Seahawks come down and win it at the end.
Yeah, but I mean, that started. You have great games tonight. You have Florida State going on the road to take on a Virginia team that is very underrated. TCU and Arizona State, Houston, Oregon State. I mean, that looks like the Saturday 11 a.m. slate, and that's tonight at 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and at 9:30, and then you get to wake up tomorrow morning and fantastic games on the 11 o'clock slate, the 2:30 slates. You have a couple in there at 3:15, 3:45, obviously the 4 o'clocks, the 6:30s, and that works its all the way down into BYU and Colorado at 9:15.
I saw somebody say, because there was a football game last night, East Carolina and Army, and East Carolina won 28-6.
Yeah.
Army's now 1-3 on the season this year. Christian, you're not allowed to answer this. Give the folks at home 5 seconds to think about this. Army's 1-3 on the season after losing 28-6 last night to East Carolina. Do you know who Army's single win on the year is? Do you remember who they beat in week 2 of the college football season? Army is 1-3, got waxed last night by East Carolina. They also lost to North Texas. That's an Army team that lost to Tarleton State in week one. But they got themselves a P4 win in week two. They beat Kansas State in Manhattan. And I saw somebody online say, Kansas State's thinking about deleting their program.
Yeah.
Somebody just texted the text box that said Kansas State in this. Yeah, it is correct. Army beat Kansas State 24-21, and they have since lost to North Texas and East Carolina last night.
This was the game, too, looking at it. I'm pretty sure that, yeah, Kansas State did not have the ball for more than 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's what Army does.
They had the ball for 19 and a half minutes.
God, if you're Kansas State, you've got to be just like, or if you're like boosters or something at Kansas State, or the athletic director, or the
president. Or if you're Avery Johnson, who came back for his senior year.
I mean, he can't, it's not like he's been a world beater, though.
He hasn't, but he's been good enough.
I think they miscalculated the talent around him.
Very much so. I mean, he's got a 61% completion percentage, thrown for 850 yards, 6 touchdowns, only 1 interception. There's just
that's good enough.
Nothing around him and nothing defensively.
Somebody said it's the Ireland curse.
It is. It's true. 100%. Why would you send your team to Ireland? Because you just know it's like the Madden curse or the sophomore slump. Like, it's a real thing.
It is a real thing. Well, we're going to talk some Auburn and Texas A&M when we come back. Get some more thoughts and how the Tigers can try to pull off the upset. We'd love to hear from you. Phone lines are open. 334-321-1390. We're talking Auburn and Texas A&M next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And it's Free for All Friday, which means we're talking a little bit of everything, of course, focusing on football. But if you would like to get in and be a part of the show, we want to hear from you, your thoughts, picks, predictions for college football this weekend. Of course, Auburn and Texas A&M tomorrow, which kicks off about 2:30, maybe a few minutes after, but around 2:30 is when that will get going. Of course, you can listen to Andy Burcham and the guys on the radio broadcast. They will go live on the Auburn Sports Network at 11:30. But coverage on Wings 94.3 will begin at 9:30 tomorrow morning with Game Day on Wings. Jumpin' Jack Hutton, Uncle T-Bone will get you started 9:30 tomorrow morning. They'll go live for 2 hours, hand it off to the Auburn Sports Network at 11:30. They'll take you all the way up to kickoff at 2:30 next door on our sister station of Wings 94.3. So if you want to call in and give your picks and how you're feeling about this game, we'd love to hear from you on the phone lines at 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. How are you feeling, Christian? Now that we've had a week to kind of get away from the Oklahoma game and get into the A&M game, I feel like because of all the other news and things that have been happening this week, it seems like there hasn't been as much pressure on this game against Texas A&M, which is weird because I think there is more pressure on it, and I just feel like the national attention hasn't been on Auburn at Texas A&M, and maybe that's because of all the other games going on too. I don't know, but how are you feeling about Auburn and Texas A&M just from a true emotion standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, when we were looking at the game last week against Oklahoma, you felt more confident in that game than you did the Texas A&M game, and looking at what the final score ended up being, again, despite everything that happened and despite the negativities, despite all the things that you could still correct and find yourself, you know, finding a way to win, it puts you in a decent mentality going into this game, considering you're going on the road to a top 10 team and you're an underdog by less than a touchdown. I hadn't thought about that until kind of sitting there last night of, man, how do I feel about this game? And it's, man, again, you've seen so many of these crazy spreads, but Auburn, who's unranked, going to the number 9th ranked team in the country, and you're only less than a touchdown underdog in this game. That should bring confidence, and that should bring a whole lot of peace just from that point in itself.
I've seen a lot of people, too, have the conversation, and we alluded to it earlier in the week, and I want to bring it back up here for a moment. A lot of people have talked about the things that went against you last week, whether it was your fault, officials' fault, whatever, right? And in the phrase of against all odds, despite everything that happened, right, you still had a chance to win the game last week. And I've seen a lot of Auburn fans use that as maybe not motivation, but at least something to make themselves feel better about what tomorrow could be, and maybe giving themselves some confidence and some hope that Auburn can beat this Texas A&M team and win this football game tomorrow.
Right. Whether that's false confidence or real confidence, it could be a little false confidence or fake confidence leading into the game, and that could lead to more and more confidence. But you're at a spot right now which is a little bit unique, because if there was a game, if I told you 2 weeks ago, all right, you have to split the Oklahoma and the Texas A&M game,
I think that was the conversation.
Yes. I think you would say you'd hope we'd win the Oklahoma game, but if I gave you the option, you'd probably say the A&M game, because that means you're in the right mentality going into a bye week. That means everything is working its way back up to being a very big Georgia game rather than kind of winning that game and then going to College Station and falling. You feel like it brings what could be more confidence going into this game this weekend.
Yeah, and I know we're going to get to the phone lines in just a moment. I'll admit, I'm not one of those people that is buying into that mentality of, well, if you, even against all the things last week, you still had a chance to win, which tells me Auburn is plenty good enough to beat Texas A&M. I think they are. I'm just personally not using that mentality going into tomorrow, because you still have to fix those things even outside of officiating. And that's what I have to see tomorrow afternoon.
Let's get to the phone lines for the first time here on this Free For All Friday show. And Michael in Auburn, you're on the line. How are you doing on this Friday afternoon?
Doing good, guys. I didn't say gap and on stunts and just blitz the A-gap and on back-to-back plays, got the sack. I hope that we have some stunts and have some ideas, but if Utah State can get to him with four men, I hope that we can. Their rushing stats aren't that great, so I don't think we necessarily have to stack the box, but I'm just curious of what we can do. And offensively, you know, if we can get back to some of those lengthier drives, 14-play, you know, drive, I think we got a pretty good chance.
Yeah, I like that breakdown. And I think that A&M's offensive line, our friend Lee Sterling, who started the show with us of Paramount Sports, was talking about A&M's offensive line, which is good, not great. And I think Auburn has shown this year, Michael, so far, that DJ Durkin knows how to dial up some things to put pressure on the quarterback in unique ways, right? Marcel Reed's a guy that is willing to take off and run. He's one of their leading rushers on this A&M team. And so similar to what you had to do last week against Mateer, you got to get to him, but you can't let him get away at the same time. And on the flip side of that, A&M's defense gives up a ton of yards, man. They're like Auburn, but maybe worse in that regard, where they'll give you a bunch of yards and they'll give up some points too. So Auburn's offense has a real opportunity, in my opinion, to get right tomorrow afternoon.
And the only other thing, I'll hang up and listen, but I haven't heard much out of Perry Thompson. Is he hurt, or that he just not been targeted? And I'll hang up and listen, guys. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call, Michael. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open. You can be a part of the show as well.
Michael, you're going to hear his name on Saturday.
You're going to hear it tomorrow.
And you're going to hear it quite a bit more. Because
whether it's just in the starting lineup graphic that they put on TV and the radio, or whether he gets 18 balls, Perry Thompson will be on the field a lot tomorrow.
Yes, and again, that's with the Horatio Fields news of breaking his foot in practice. Perry Thompson, Hugh Freeze, was very outspoken, saying he is that next man up. It's time to prove that he belongs in the SEC and belongs playing on the field. He hasn't really been targeted too many times. I believe he has two catches on the year, and it's just because of the guys that were in front of him, but it has to unfortunately be that next man up mentality, and Auburn fans are going to get what they've kind of been hoping for with Perry Thompson. Again, the athletic ability that he has, we've talked about it, or at least I haven't, correct me if I'm wrong, that I'm willing to say that he has the ability or the projection to be the most well-rounded Auburn receiver from the standpoint of speed, physicality, verticality, everything that he brings to the table is a very, very well-rounded just nightmare for defenses. He hasn't been able to polish it and put it all together quite yet. Maybe that's just because of the limited reps. Maybe that's because of the mentality of not coming and starting. We're not exactly sure, and I'm not speculating that that's the reason, but you got to throw all of that to the side now because Jackson Arnold is going to need Perry Thompson in this game. We talked about it. If you're A&M's secondary, you're throwing a blanket on Cam Coleman over the top, and you're putting two or three guys on Eric Singleton over the middle of the field, and you're making some of these other guys like Perry Thompson beat you. And that leads even more to what Hugh Freeze was talking about earlier in the week of Jackson trusting his receivers to win these one-on-one matchups. I know that last week he was told not to throw the ball into harm's way, and that's why you saw him hold it for a tick or two longer, and with a good secondary or a good front rush from Oklahoma, they were able to get to him, and that's why you look at some of the sacks on the D-line, some of the sacks on Jackson Arnold, just because he held the ball for so long. You're not going to be able to do that again this week against A&M. If you want to find success, you're going to have to go and win one-on-one matchups, and that's what we've talked about with this receiver unit of having the ability to do so. Now you got to go on the road once again and prove that it can be done.
Well, I think that's why Auburn on offense tomorrow and moving forward, you have to use the quintuple of guys you have, which is Eric Singleton, Cam Coleman, now Perry Thompson, right in the place of Horatio Fields. And you also need to use Malcolm Simmons and Jeremiah Cobb. Whether those guys are in the run game or the passing game of Jeremiah Cobb and Malcolm Simmons, right? I think both of those guys can be used in both. But those five guys have to be the ones to touch the football. I'm sorry, they do. And however you get them the ball, just do it. Just get them the ball and allow them to get on the outside away from the NFL talent defensive linemen that Texas A&M has always had, right, since they've been in the SEC, and get it out of Jackson's hands. And I say that in a good way, not a bad thing, but you can't allow him to stand there for 3, 4, 5 seconds, because guess what? You don't have 3, 4, 5 seconds in the SEC. A&M will get home and make Jackson's day miserable like it was a week ago.
You're talking about the Auburn defensive front as well, and how Marcel Reed this year has become much more of that pocket passer, which is something you didn't think that Marcel Reed would ever be. But last year, it was much more of the, if I don't have my one read, I'm going to take off and run. It was almost what Jackson Arnold did against Baylor. That was Marcel Reed all of the back half of the season when they finally began to figure out their offense, and it worked. This year, he hasn't been needed as much, again, because Lee Sterling was talking about it, all five of these offensive linemen returning from last year. Marcel Reed has, for the most part, been able to sit in the pocket and deliver footballs. John Mateer was a running quarterback, and Auburn forced him to 10 carries for 29 yards. He's going to have to use his legs a little bit, as Marcel Reed, looking at this game. He ran for 37 yards against Notre Dame, but was 17 of 37. Where he did not have a lot of time in the pocket. A lot of those came on deep balls when we watched that game of just not quite home runs, but trusting his guys to go win 50-50 matchups, and they did against Notre Dame's secondary, which is grossly bad this year somehow. Mm-hmm. But finding ways to get Marcel Reed uncomfortable while not allowing him to beat you with his legs, it's kind of that happy medium. Like, if you can force anything like you did with Marcel Reed, or like you did with John Mateer for Marcel Reed this weekend, where it's not necessarily you have to get to him every time, but pressure him, make him rush a couple throws. There were a couple times last week in Norman where if John Mateer had another half second, it's arguably a touchdown, if not a first down, if not a 25-yard gain. But because there was pressure right there, it was an overthrow, it was an underthrow, a little bit behind a receiver. You got to find ways to put a little bit of pressure, even if it doesn't mean that Auburn's tallying all of those sacks.
I mean, Marcel Reed's their second leading rusher on this A&M team. But with the games that I've seen and the film that I've watched, I could be wrong in this, but I feel like there aren't as many design quarterback runs for Marcel Reed as there are with John Mateer at
Exactly,
Oklahoma.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Last year, there were a lot of those with Marcel Reed. This year, they want him to be that pocket passer, which he has become. Again, 870 yards through the air, 9 touchdowns, only 1 interception, but it's much more of the scrambles, or he does have a couple of the zone reads, but it's not the two-step quarterback draws that you're seeing.
I guess I was saying more a comparison to what Mateer was doing rather than Reed from a year ago with A&M. Sorry, apologies there. Yeah, more a comparison to what Auburn just saw versus what they're going to see this week, which are two running quarterbacks, two guys that are the second leading rusher on their team at the quarterback spot, and two guys that can beat you in several different ways on the football field. Before we get to break, very interesting question we just got in the on-the-line text box. At 784-1067, you can always send your messages there or shoot us or give us a call, 334-321-1390. Says, if Auburn gets an awful call from the officials on Saturday, what do you do if you're Hugh Freeze? Do you become so vocal that the refs have to give you an unsportsmanlike penalty? Do you keep your cool and just let it go? If Auburn gets shafted on a bad call, a blatantly bad call, not a 50-50 holding call or even a pass interference, but something just blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
What do you do if you're Hugh Freeze?
It is a really, really good question.
Because there's a good chance something's going to happen where Freeze has a decision to make in that moment on how he wants to respond.
You look at this in the same conversation as other sports. When a team on the basketball court is not really performing the way that they should, or they lose a lead early in the second half. You saw BP do it a lot when he still had his suits on every single game. But just the coaches that go and willingly get that technical to fire up the crowd, fire up the team, and then you see how they respond on the baseball field as well. You'll see managers go out and basically purposely get ejected to prove a point and to, again, fire up his team and to stand up for his team. You feel like college football, though, might be a little bit different, especially on the road in an environment like that. If Auburn's at home, without a doubt, I'd be willing to raise a little bit more of a case.
But being at Kyle Field with
100,000 people going at you, you feel like that would make a worse scene than it would not doing anything. And I know that that might be a soft mentality based off of the setting, but especially if it's the case where,
I think it's a legitimate argument, though.
Especially if it's the case where Auburn's up 10-7 at that, and that's 15 yards that adds on after a third down, and all of a sudden they're at midfield. That drive then leads to a touchdown, and then you see that snowball effect.
Yeah, I hate to give the answer of it depends, but it kind of does, right? Do you have a lead in the fourth quarter? Are you driving? Is it something where you have the lead, or the officials have actually been pretty good for that game? And I'm with you, right at Kyle Field, 100,000 plus people that are gonna, they will feed off of that. That will not go the way you want it to, most likely.
Again, but if you were at home, then you would have the entire crowd, you feel like, to back you up. On the road, it's you walking into enemy territory, and it's you and your 85 guys against 100,000.
But if it's just so blatant, and even if you're down or whatever, if there are certain situations where, absolutely, if I'm Hugh Freeze, I might just lose my ever-living mind and have to get literally drug off the field by my assistant coach. Someone responded and said, I'd go nuclear, but only in the post-game presser.
Sure.
Give me my fine. Take a GoFundMe from the fans to get that thing paid for.
Yeah.
I think there's a world where that could happen if Auburn is on the bad end of some calls this weekend. And I'll say this, too. This may not please a bunch of Auburn fans, but I don't want this officiated crew, whoever it is tomorrow, they know what happened last weekend. It's probably not the same crew, but they know what has happened, and I'm sure that this has been a long week for SEC officials having conversations with the SEC office, and that is a good thing. Good. Go through it and make sure you're ready to go. But what I don't want to see is overcorrection by this officiating crew and either call it so tight that you can't play. We say that in basketball a ton, right? Whistle happy or just letting it go or giving Auburn calls that they don't deserve. As a football fan, I don't want to see the overcorrection by this weekend's crew because of the debacle that happened last weekend in Norman.
That and from the Auburn perspective, to where if there's one holding call that you don't get, Auburn fans don't get, or that Auburn doesn't get, or there's one call that does get called,
here we go,
don't immediately flip that to the very last page of the book and tie that in with last week's.
Again, I agree.
Although it's very easy to do that because they're all trying their best, I feel like, is the best way to...
You thought hard on that one.
I did.
You thought about it.
But, yeah, don't make it to where emotions immediately run wild after one simple call that doesn't go your way.
Which is very easy to do.
Yes.
It is.
Very.
Especially for the team and the fan base that was on the wrong end of it. Yeah, no doubt about it. So, great question in the text box. Thank you very much for sending that. We got to get to break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one.
I went on TexAgs just to see their little bulletin board, and they're all asking for the same officiating crew.
I bet they are. We love our friends over at TexAgs. David Nuno and those guys do a fantastic job. But, yeah, I bet they are asking for that crew. Okay, let's get to break. We'll come back, have a very quick segment to wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. We literally have like 20 seconds. The music's about to stop, and then the next music is about to start. And so we appreciate you being...
No, more like right now.
Three, two, there it is. Beautiful. So high school sports, yeah, there's football on last night, football on tonight, and Auburn High plays Moody. All right, ready, break.
About how it went.
We will talk a little bit more at the end of the show. But yes, Auburn High playing Moody tonight at Duck Sanford Stadium. The number one team in 5A coming down to take on the fifth-ranked team in 7A. So should be a lot of fun. We'll have the radio broadcast for you over on Wings 94.3. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7. So come on over and join us on the Auburn High Sports Network if you can't make it out to the Duck. And coming up in hour number two, we'll start with the phone lines, and then we're making picks across college football and more. That's here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on what is now a gorgeous Friday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. We got a little flashback of summer today
with the
mid-afternoon rain coming through. And, man, the storms last night were wild in Auburn Opelika. So we appreciate you being with us on, again, a sunny afternoon
humid here
on the plains. It is humid. I stepped outside between the first and second hours, and, yep, it's humid again. So we appreciate you being with us again. If you missed any of the first hour of today's show, we'll have the podcast version of it posted for you wherever you get your podcast. And it's just the show audio on our station website at ESPNAU.com. We talked to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports in hour number one, gave you his best bets of the weekend in college football. Also has some free picks in there for you. if you go and visit him at ParamountSports.com right now. And then we talked some Auburn and Texas A&M. Had some good questions, some good calls, some good texts and things. And so all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, we're doing what we always do on Free For All Friday. We're picking our 10 games of the week. We have them all. We break down, give you our prediction, and then at 3:30, we break down Auburn and Texas A&M. But we start hour number two on the phone lines. Ty the Tiger held on through the break, and we appreciate you, sir. How you doing on this Friday afternoon?
Amazing Friday, guys. How are y'all?
We are good, my man. What's on your mind?
Man, I just, you know, I'm not going to get into it on one point I got to make, but it's just crazy how when something happens, like somebody retires, all of a sudden people would just want to say, you know, say bad things like he got forced out or something like that, man. It just
Are you talking about Bruce?
I'm talking about Bruce. Have you not seen these narratives that they're pushing out now about how, I mean, a lot of, you know, not a lot, but there's some talking heads out there that's talking about, you know, well, he was a very diverse
I've seen a couple of idiots in front of microphones that have had things to say this week about Bruce Pearl, and you can tell that they clearly don't know what's going on. They've talked about Auburn twice in their life, and they had to get engagement somehow, Ty.
It's the funny thing to me is because you ain't got to have a lot of sense or know a lot about Auburn to understand if the man was controversial and you had to get him out, how much sense does it make hiring his son? Like,
correct.
I'm sure, like, that, again, it just don't make any sense.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I'm with you on that.
But anyway, just wanted to get that out of the chest, you know, because it's just funny to me. You know, it's not news unless it's nasty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
People want to harp on bad things. Well, let's harp on some good things, guys. For the game tomorrow, you know, I've been looking at stats. I rewatched the Notre Dame game with them, and like you guys said, I mean, I feel like the bet is the over. You know, I think it's going to be a field goal game. I think both teams are going to put up 30 plus points. It's really going to come down to guys who can contain whose quarterback.
Yeah.
I really feel like the defense that gets the most sacks, the most stops, you know, you look at his stats versus Notre Dame, the kid, I mean, he had 300 something yards, but he was 17 for 37.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he was under 50% and they won the game. Now, he also rushed for a good bit, too.
And had some ridiculous throws in that game that helped them win down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the kid was a playmaker. And we're going to have to stop him because he don't come out there and make plays Saturday, too. I mean, I don't think we're going to stop him. Who can contain who more? You know what I'm saying? Who can stop somebody from stealing the show more? Because I think Jackson Arnold's going to do the same to their defense as well. I think Jackson Arnold's going to – I mean, if I had a prop bet to put out there, I say both quarterbacks over 225 yards passing and over 50 yards rushing, you can take that to the bank, bro.
Boom.
You know what I'm saying?
I like it. I like it. Ty, we appreciate you, my friend, and holding on through the break.
I'm going to give you a real quick score. I'm going to say 38-35, Auburn kick one at the late seconds of this game to win it, 38-35. Y'all have a great weekend, and War Damn Eagle.
War, you too, man. We appreciate you. Auburn kicking a field goal to win it, according to Ty the Tiger.
What are those?
Auburn with special teams? What? 38-35. I think Auburn fans would love that. I would love to watch it.
I was about to say.
I'd feel bad for the defense, but, you know, if the offense wants to put up 38 points on the road at Kyle Field,
sure.
I think most Auburn fans would take that and just nod your head at the defense as well. Let's continue with a phone call here. We got John and Auburn on the line. What's going on, my friend? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Happy Friday. I'll get to what I'm saying in one sec. I was going to say, did y'all see Jackson Arnold walking off the field at Oklahoma after everything he went through during that game? He looked up at the Oklahoma student section and said, "Y'all wish y'all were me."
Yeah.
I love that moxie from our signal caller.
I do too. I mean, you could clearly see that game meant a lot to him, and he's got that edge to him. But I'll be honest, John, I need to see it a little bit more from Jackson in the game too and make some plays, and I promise you he's going to have every opportunity to do that tomorrow.
He will, and that's my point that I was going to say. From what you've seen in 2025, I feel like defenses are guarding us based on high school film or some film from last year. Outside Cam Coleman, I have not seen an Auburn receiver that I'm convinced can beat anybody. Can be the one guy that, like, wins a game for us. I need to see something from Eric Singleton and Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons, because in the 2025 ball game so far, I haven't seen it. And so my question is, if somebody's playing defense on Auburn, if you stack the run and double Cam, that's exactly how I would play against us. What do y'all think?
I think it's a great question. I think it does fall back on Eric Singleton being that next guy. You wouldn't know it, but he caught 9 balls for 60 yards a week ago in Norman. And I feel like that's one of those stats that goes underlooked just a little bit. I know a bunch of those were right at the line of scrimmage. I think of the one where I feel like he thought Auburn was on the near side of the field and kind of just ran out of bounds rather than trying to score a touchdown. I think he's obviously that go-to guy, and that's kind of what we've been talking about with Malcolm and with Perry Thompson, even Jeremiah Cobb out of the backfield. There's got to be somebody else that Jackson Arnold can go to if option one and option two are not there. There's going to be dump-off opportunities because the middle linebacker is going to be spying Jackson Arnold all weekend long, or all game long, rather, to where little angle routes, little swing routes, getting the guys off the line of scrimmage, allowing the pressure to kind of work against the A&M defense. There's going to have to be somebody there that can win, and I say win at the line of scrimmage.
I agree with you, Christian. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call, John. Good to hear from you, my friend. 334-321-1390. Time to make picks on this Friday edition of On the Line. We've got 10 games to pick here. We got a rapid fire here. We'll do it for the next 6 or 7 minutes here. Take a break, do it in the next segment as well. We love people calling in and appreciate you guys. Ty the Tiger and John and Auburn being a part of the show. You can get your game picks in, though, if you'd like to, by shooting us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Just to give the people an update, Christian, not for any particular reason here, just I think somebody asked about it. Last week, I went 6-4. Last week, you went 5-5. Not our best week, sir. Not our best week in picks. But I did extend my lead by one. 28-12 is my record. 23-17 is your record. But another week for you to get right back in the ballgame, my friend.
Yeah. It sucks because I knew we picked a bunch of the same ones. And one of the last ones was Indiana, Illinois. And I went with Luke Altmyer.
Yeah, you messed up on that.
That is the wrong team picked.
Yeah, I ripped a SIG and went with Kurt Cignetti and Fernando Mendoza. And that one panned out pretty nicely. I did not pick 63-10, though, but I did pick Indiana to win. So I have a feeling, though, that we're going to have some differenting picks on these games this weekend. Let's jump into it. We've got the 10 best games in the schedule for us to pick starting tonight, Christian. Some Friday night college football. You'll be able to watch this one a lot heavier than I will be. You being on a bye week for Lee Scott will be on the air for Auburn High School football. Number 24 TCU on the road at Arizona State tonight, 8 o'clock Central Time. Who you got? Can the ranked Horned Frogs go on the road in conference play and get it done against an Arizona State team trying to get back on track?
You saw Arizona State do something that they didn't do a whole lot of last year, which is eat a lot of clock. And you saw them go down and win it with a field goal at the buzzer to beat Baylor in Waco. I'm worried for TCU and their standpoint in this game with the clock. Josh Hoover is a hell of a quarterback, and he has two of the best in Eric McAllister and Jordan Dwyer out wide to go to him. That being said, if Arizona State can get out in front and control the clock, control the line of scrimmage, I feel like Arizona State can handle this one. That being said, I think that the secondary of Arizona State is going to be tested. Obviously, Arizona or TCU's is going to be tested as well with Jordan Tyson, but he's one of those guys that go ahead and give him 80 yards, but don't let him go for 130 and two touchdowns. I like Josh Hoover in this game. I think it'll be a little bit of a lower scoring game just because of the clock being used. TCU in this type of game, although they can't really run the football, might not have to. Give me the Horned Frogs by right around that field goal line.
They may be the ranked team in this matchup, but they are considered the underdog in this matchup. According to the betting odds, Las Vegas has Arizona State favored by 3.5 in this game tonight out at Tempe. Em. Yeah, basically, if you talk about the 3 points you get at home. I love everything you said about Josh Hoover and his guys on the outside. Hoover has exactly 1,000 passing yards so far this season, 11 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. Sam Levitt has not been overly impressive so far this season for me, but I think the difference is something you said is running the football, which is something that Arizona State can do and TCU cannot. I think a costly turnover by Josh Hoover is going to give Arizona State the edge here. I like the Sun Devils to get this thing done. The upset in the rankings, but the favorite pulls it off in the betting line. So look at that, my friend. One game in and we're already going opposite directions. I'll take Arizona State tonight against TCU. We move into some games in the early slate tomorrow. One that if you don't have it on your schedule, you need to. Number 21. USC in Champaign taking on number 23 Illinois. It's USC. Jay Maiava, who has looked really, really good. They put up a bunch of points and a bunch of yards last week. They've done it several times against some mediocre Big Ten talent. Illinois trying to find their way, pick themselves up off the mat with Brett Bielema, who was embarrassed on national TV last weekend against Kurt Cignetti in Indiana. USC traveling across the country, 9 a.m. local kick for the Trojans, 11 a.m. Central Time against the Fighting Illini.
Yeah, I saw that old Lincoln Riley complained about that. Said we had the latest kick last week, and now we have the earliest kick this week. And
boo-hoo.
It's like, you know how to change that? You play teams in your time zone. You play teams around you.
Crazy idea. Who's a more unlikable coach, Lane Kiffin or Lincoln Riley?
There's definitely
at least Lane Kiffin's funny sometimes.
There's definitely a conversation in that. This is when this game was first released, I was a little bit worried, or when we first started looking at it, I was a little bit worried about it because desperation is a true thing in college football.
Yes, it is.
And when Illinois goes to Indiana for their first road game of the season and gets absolutely demolished, you know they're going to come back home with a vengeance. They're going to come back with that desperation of we need to get the media off our backs. Imagine what a big time win could do. And then you work your way down the rest of the season, go, okay, yeah, we went 1-1 in that stretch, and you feel like it could perfectly be fine. Jaden Maiava is a star, the redshirt junior for Lincoln Riley. He's the star when he needs to be, but the star of this game is not going to be him, and it's not going to be Mekhi Lemon. It's going to be Wayman Jordan. USC can do something they haven't been able to do in quite some time since they had a couple guys that went on and won trophies in that running back spot. USC can run the football. In an 11 a.m. game, I think this could be a lower scoring game. I don't think that the offensive firepower goes off like it does when they're playing at the Coliseum at night, but I like Wayman Jordan in this game to get it done for USC.
Wow, you got USC on the road getting it done against Illinois.
There was also so many injuries in that secondary, too, for Illinois, to where you feel like because of the threat of Maiava passing and because of Mekhi Lemon, who's going to be a star in the NFL in just a couple of years, I think they're going to prioritize making sure that you don't get hit with the home run ball, which opens up the run game.
And I think that's a really good point, but I will counterpoint with the latest injury report for the Illinois Fighting Illini. They're getting several dudes back in that secondary, including one of their captains, Miles Scott, who got ejected in that game last week in the first half against Indiana for a targeting penalty. He is back for this game against USC. That secondary is not 100% for Illinois, but it's much better than it was against Indiana, playing third and fourth string guys. A couple of walk-ons probably got in that game as well. I think the desperation factor is in play here. I think Brett Bielema is a really good coach, one that got embarrassed on national TV and will not let that happen again. I like Illinois to find a way for Luke Altmyer to have his best game as in the season, maybe not as an Illini, but probably his best game of the year. So far, that Illinois defense to get after it. And if they can protect Luke Altmyer, I think he can absolutely wreak havoc on that USC defense. And if they can make it just stressful on Maiava, I think Illinois will find a way to get up off the mat and win this football game. Give me
Look
Illinois to win.
Two games, two different picks. Oh, man. One of our weeks is going down the drain already.
Yeah, it is. And look, even if Illinois doesn't win, I love them with the spread. +6.5 at home. Seems like Vegas is begging you to take that, so maybe they know something I don't. But, yeah, I like Illinois to win tomorrow morning at home against USC.
It's going to be rapid fire.
Yes, it is. We got to take a break, and we got a lot to get to. We may have to bleed into the 3:30 segment, but we're going to try our best. We're making picks for the biggest games in college football this weekend. We'll take a break, come back, and continue that right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, rapid fire picks here. We got a lot to get through and not a lot of time to do it. We have so far, we've picked TCU at Arizona State tonight. We also picked USC versus Illinois tomorrow morning. We continue with the morning slate games. Number 22, Notre Dame, Christian, on the road in Fayetteville, taking on Arkansas and Sam Pittman, who has a job still somehow there for the Hogs. Notre Dame, a ranked team for whatever reason, because of their logo, it's biased, it's ridiculous, but it's whatever. They're favored by 3.5, taking on the Hawks tomorrow morning at 11 a.m.
What a game this could be, man.
This could be a lot of fun.
From the standpoint of Arkansas finding ways to lose in the red zone in back-to-back weeks, with Notre Dame possibly moving to 1-3, 0-2 against the SEC, and still probably being ranked and still being the 8th seed in the college football playoff. I'm at the point right now to where I have not been impressed with Notre Dame, especially defensively at all, to where I feel like there's got to be something that gives eventually. Because right now you're looking at what could be a whole lot of points scored, because Talen Green is one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC. But he's got some guys around him that can make plays on the offensive side of the football, but there's nothing. There is nothing there. On defense, it's like waving a tennis racket through water and trying to create a puddle. I don't know where I was going with that one.
You heard it here, folks.
Boom.
Boom.
There it is. That's good right there. Put that on a t-shirt.
No, it ain't. No. Who's your pick? I'll give you mine.
Sure.
I'm taking Arkansas. Give me Talen Green to score the final touchdown of the game. This genuinely is going to be who has the football last. I think both defenses are horrific. I think Jeremiah Love could run for a bunch. I'm not a CJ Carr believer, but Arkansas's defense is so bad they're going to make him look like a Heisman Trophy winner. But I believe in Talen Green to not go down in dramatic fashion 3 weeks in a row. Give me Arkansas to pull off the upset.
The script writers don't let Notre Dame start 1-3. Ain't no way that they let the Fighting Irish, the prized possession in college football, start 1-3 with how poor the defense is. Jeremiah Love could just run wild. I'll take Notre Dame, not very confidently.
All right, we continue on making our picks. We have differed in every game so far, folks. This week is going to be do or die as we continue on to the afternoon slate and a game that I might be the most excited for this game right here. I've been waiting on this moment for the Washington Huskies hosting in Seattle the number one team in the land. Here come the Buckeyes of Ohio State, a team that, after beating Texas, hasn't had to do a whole lot so far. And Washington, I've said it, they may have the most talented quarterback, receiver, and running back trio in all of college football. Washington, what's the latest spread here, just to get it right? It's up to 9.5 for Ohio State. That line has jumped a whole point since last night, folks. That was 8.5 yesterday. It's 9.5 today. Buckeyes on the road have to travel across the country and playing at Husky Stadium, which is not easy to do.
No, it's not. Many refer to this as kind of like the sleeping giants of college football stadiums. I think this is a conversation that we've had a lot of, that Washington may have the three most dynamic players in their position on the offensive side of the football. At the quarterback spot, it's Damon Williams. You have Mr. Jonah Coleman running the football, and then you have all of their receivers led by Denzel Boston, who has 16 grabs for 249 yards and 3 touchdowns. I worry that Washington won't be able to run the football with Coleman, but he's also their second leading receiver, and you saw them use a lot of that last week. They're going to have to find ways to get him the football in space. I think the crowd plays a very big factor. This is Julian Sands' first true road game, and you're going to Husky Stadium in Seattle. It's not going to be an easy place to play. That being said, screw it. Jeremiah Smith over there somewhere.
Yeah.
I like Ohio State to win, but give me Washington in the points.
I like Ohio State to win and Washington to cover. Ohio State is going to be desperate to get out of this game. They will be lucky to get out of this game, but I think they do. But the world is going to see just how talented Washington is, and with the remaining schedule that they have of Maryland, Rutgers, Michigan, who I think is phony, Illinois if they can't get healthy, Wisconsin, Purdue, UCLA, and then a battle with Oregon at Husky Stadium to end the season. Washington keeps it close. They keep their playoff hopes alive. They are a dark horse, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, but I do have Ohio State to win.
Not going in order, just a game that doesn't mean as much for the people around here. Arizona, Iowa State. So that is a 6 o'clock game. Iowa State's the 14th ranked team in the country. Any way that Noah Fifita can make a little bit of noise?
No, I'll take Iowa State to handle business here tomorrow night on ESPN. I'll take Rocco Beck to kind of get going a little bit, which is crazy to say for a guy that's thrown for 860 yards, 7 scores, and only 1 turnover. I think Iowa State wins. I think Iowa State wins big.
Yeah, I like Iowa State in there as well. The 14th ranked team in the country. We've both talked about it after that week 0 game, how impressive that offense was. I'll stick with them as well.
Arizona's 3-0, though, but their wins are over Hawaii, Weber State, and Kansas State.
And that Hawaii-Arizona game was one of the grossest in college football.
Yes, it was. Do not be a scoreboard watcher on that one, because 40-6 is misleading to a T. So I'll take Iowa State, and I'll take them to win big as 4.5-point favorites. We pick the biggest games in college football coming up right after this. Then we talk about Auburn and Texas A&M. We've got 30 more minutes on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 more games to pick, and then we're talking Auburn and Texas A&M. Phone lines are closed because we get distracted too easily. But you can shoot us a text with your game picks if you would like for any of the biggest games around college football, or, of course, Auburn and Texas A&M as well. Oh, my goodness. We have 5 games to pick. Whew. All right, we got to move. Number 4, LSU in Oxford tomorrow. Take it on number 13, Ole Miss. LSU's offense trying to wake up. Their defense, people are claiming, is one of the best in the country, one of the best they've had in quite some time, Christian. But they're in Oxford tomorrow taking on Lane Kiffin and the Rebels.
What a weird game that going into this season, you felt like there was no way that Ole Miss was going to be favored in this game. And Ole Miss, or LSU rather, was favored by 1.5 when this spread first came out. It has flipped on its head to where Ole Miss is now 1.5 favored. I feel like you're sitting there waiting for Garrett Nussmeier to have that breakout game. and for Anderson and the guys out wide to kind of have that big breakout game. And if there's ever a defense to do it, if you're not playing Arkansas or Kentucky, you're playing Ole Miss. And I feel like that could be kind of the game that gets everybody going back with the LSU offense. Again, it has been a little bit underwhelming. And I also think, again, as talented as I think Trinidad Chambliss is, he has not truly faced a big-time SEC defense. And if LSU's is as good as everybody thinks that it is or can be, I think he struggles. And I like LSU in this football game to control the tempo, control the clock, almost get to the point where Lane Kiffin and Chambliss can't run the ball and you have to put it all on your quarterback, which Lane Kiffin is usually fine to do, but they usually like to do that to lay down the hammer, not from playing from behind. I like LSU in this game.
Yeah, I'll keep it quick here. I like LSU as well. Ole Miss being favored scares me. Sounds like Vegas is begging you to take LSU as an underdog here.
I bet Ole Miss got a lot of early money, and you're going to see a lot of late LSU money come in to flip it right back to LSU.
Yeesh, it took the words right out of my mouth. I think that's exactly what's going to happen here because Ole Miss is minus 125 on the money line. I think that's going to shift real quick with some big money folks tomorrow morning. Give me LSU, and give me LSU to win comfortably here. So we both have LSU. Let's move on. Sneaky game. I was talking to one of the biggest Tennessee fans I know earlier today, Brody Thomas, over at Winter Timber Outdoors. Be sure you check them out if you're looking to get some hunting gear this weekend over next to Walmart in Auburn across from the mall.
You can give him a big war eagle.
He likes Auburn. He does. He's just a Tennessee fan first. And I asked him at lunch today. I said, are you nervous about this game? As Tennessee heads to Stark Vegas, baby. 3:15 Central Time tomorrow. Right in the middle of a bunch of good games. And not a lot of people will pay attention to this one unless it's close in the second half. Tennessee ranked 15th in the country coming off a demolishing win over UAB. And Mississippi State is undefeated, buddy. Tennessee and Mississippi State. Who gets it done and why?
There's a quarterback, or a head coach, rather, that nobody really knows about. And his name is Jeff Lebby. And he has his team 4-0 with a 24-20 win over Arizona State. And then Alcorn State, Northern Illinois, and Southern Miss as well. There might be some talks about old Jeff Lebby if he's able to find a way to get this one done. But there's a couple stars on the field. And there's one guy who has that name. Star Thomas in the backfield will be the difference maker in this game. I like Mississippi State to cover, but I think Tennessee gets away with a win.
Home sweet home to me. Don't overthink this. Tennessee wins. I'm not touching the spread because I'm with you. I think Mississippi State could keep it close. Playing in Starkville is not easy. The cowbells are wild. Davis Wade is a weird place to play, but don't overthink it. Tennessee is going to win this football game. We continue on rapid fire picks here down the stretch.
We have one on the previous page.
Wow, we're really behind. Okay, wow. Okay, we're really behind then. You're right. I totally missed
fine.
That one. I'm rapid fire this one too. Number 11, Indiana on the road at Iowa. Indiana coming off probably their best win in program history after beating Illinois 63-10. Iowa will make it decent, but Indiana pulls away late. I like the Hoosiers to win. I like the Hoosiers to cover as well.
This is a low-scoring game in the first half, but unless Iowa can keep Indiana under 24 points, they're not winning this football game. And they're not doing that. Give me Elijah Surratt to have a very big game. And Fernando Mendoza to continue to do what he does and just deliver the football when it needs to be delivered.
Betting favorite to win the Heisman Trophy right now is Fernando Mendoza.
And not many people would know of that unless you watch that Indiana-Illinois game. But, I mean, we've watched him all season long. We watched him at Cal. And he just does everything that needs to be done on a football field.
14 touchdowns, no interceptions, pushing 1,000 yards already for a guy that hasn't played very many fourth quarters so far this season. Give me Indiana to win and win by double digits. Now we scroll down, yes, to where we are. Where are we?
We got two more. The biggest two games of the night.
Okay, all right. We've caught up. Yeah, we've caught up a little bit. Do you want to do Big Ten or SEC? Which one do you want to do?
I have a coin here.
Tails. Well, good thing is we didn't assign which side was which game. So let's do Oregon, Penn State, and then we'll pick Alabama, Georgia.
There was also no coin.
There was no coin for those of you that kids nowadays pull out their phone and look up coin toss on Google, and it can do it for you.
Here you go. My phone screen is heads, and the SEC, this is tails. You ready?
Yep, ready. All right, here we go.
Bad toss. Hold on.
Oh, my gosh.
SEC.
SEC?
No,
okay.
We're doing Big Ten games first. Nobody cares about freaking James Franklin. I mean, other than your family. Sorry, the Goins family for James Franklin.
Yeah, the Goins family is really tied into this Penn State game this week. On paper, it is the biggest game of the weekend.
Yeah.
It is. It's a top 10 matchup. Dante Moore, number 6 Oregon, heading to Penn State, the third-ranked team in the country. And it is the Whiteout, baby. It's the Whiteout in Happy Valley. Look, I've been there. That place is crazy. It is unbelievable, the atmosphere that they build and create inside that stadium.
You have your suite, right?
Yeah, yeah. We actually have the box is named. It's got Goins on it.
Really?
It used to be named Goins Stadium, but then Beaver came in and, you know, took over. So
understandable.
They paid $2 million. I was only willing to pay $1 million. So. Oregon and Penn State, two of the best in the Big Ten, two teams. Win or lose, are going to make the college football playoff, which takes a little oomph off of this game for me. But I do think it's really, really fun. Penn State's got to get going. That offense has got to find a way to start moving the football and also scoring when they have it. Drew Aller didn't come back to play like this. It's been poor. Like, it's been really poor, especially in the first half. They have come out just so sloppy and slow. Oregon's good enough defensively to take advantage of that. But Dante Moore on the road, it scares me, man. That Penn State defense is still really good. I have a bad feeling about this game for the Ducks. Give me Penn State to win. And looking at the updated spread right now, Penn State 3.5. They've got this thing pretty darn close. I like Penn State to win. I like Penn State to cover.
Dang it. I was really hoping that would have been a different one.
I think Oregon and Dante Moore are really, really good, and you need to watch out for them to win the title, but it ain't happening tomorrow night.
This Penn State game could be the Illinois-Indiana type of game that Indiana had, where it was they haven't played anybody, they haven't been tested yet, ain't no way. I like Illinois. Who the heck would pick Illinois to win that game? That's crazy. Crazy work done by those individuals. Penn State's also coming off a bye. While Oregon had to play Oregon State last week, which was essentially a bye because Malik Murphy did not play very good in that game. In a weird way, we've talked about desperation from the standpoint of teams that don't have anything going for them. Penn State is in desperation in a very different way because it used to be earlier in the season, it was you have Oregon and you have Ohio State. You win one of those, you're in a great spot. But then you look at Indiana. You look at Nebraska, and you could possibly even look at Rutgers on the 29th for what could be a couple of those slip-up games. I think Penn State is in desperation mode to get this win and to prove that James Franklin can get over that hump and prove that he is still the right coach in Happy Valley. And so against every single part of my being, I'm picking Penn State as well.
Yeah, even Penn State playing their first true game of the season after opening up with like FIU, Nevada, and Villanova or something like that, I don't trust Oregon to travel here. Dante Moore's going to look like a young quarterback in this game, and I think the lights are too bright in this one. I have Penn State to win and Penn State to cover. And then the other game of the week, this one in the SEC, under the lights in Athens, Georgia, where 17th-ranked Alabama heading to Athens, taking on the 5th-ranked Dogs of Georgia. It's Kalen DeBoer and Kirby Smart, both teams coming off a bye, both teams looking for a big-time win in the SEC. Dogs favored by just 2.5 here, Christian Griffin. Who is it, the Crimson Tide, or is it the Dogs?
Two teams that established themselves by running the football, but now both want to attack the other's weak secondary. And I feel like that's going to be the storyline of this game. If we weren't picking a game, I would pick points in this game. I think it's at 52.
I see 54.5 according to
ESPN. Okay, so it's already jumped a little bit more than that. I would still be willing to take that. I think this is going to be a relatively higher scoring game. Georgia has been waiting for a big-time night game in Sanford Stadium since I had to go to high school there and hear just about every single weekend about how they still haven't gotten one. It would be wrong for me to go against it. And so I like Georgia to win this football game, and I think they do it not in commanding fashion, but to where it's one of those games of, okay, yeah, Georgia looked like the better football team.
I like Georgia to win here. I like Georgia to cover. Only 2.5 just seems... Again, it's one of those spreads where it's like, what does Vegas know? Why are they begging you to take Georgia favorite at home at night? Both teams coming off a bye, that's great. But Nick Saban ain't there. This ain't Nick Saban coming off a bye. That's Kalen DeBoer. I don't trust him. I trust Kirby Smart coming off a bye week. They got their defense got torched against Tennessee. It ain't going to happen twice. Give me Georgia. Give me Georgia to win. Georgia to cover. I like Georgia by double digits. Wow. I like 38-28 or maybe even 38-24 here. I think Georgia wins, and they win big.
I also trust the quarterback that has more true athleticism. I think Gunnar Stockton's legs, that wasn't too big of a factor against Tennessee. It was a little bit more in the second half than it was the first half. But you could see Gunnar with two rushing touchdowns in this game to kind of ice it.
Ty Simpson. In the only other road game the Crimson Tide has played this year, when they went to Tallahassee and took on a defense for Florida State, that's fine, it's solid, but it ain't Georgia when they're good. He was 23 of 43 for 254 yards. Had a couple of touchdowns, but a lot of incompletions as well. I like Georgia to win and command this football game. So, there we go. We had a lot of different picks.
How many
difference?
We have one, two, three. The same. Oh, only three. We started 3 for 3, and then the next seven we picked the same.
Oh, man. Well, somebody will lose. Somebody in there, it'll be Mississippi State or Arizona or Oregon.
Oregon will find a way to win.
Oregon will find a way to win, and we'll be wrong. But, okay, let's take our final break. We'll take it earlier than we usually do because we'll come back and we'll give our final thoughts on Auburn and Texas A&M. It's the Tigers and the Aggies tomorrow, 2:30 in College Station. We make our picks for that game next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We're going to make our final picks and predictions for Auburn and Texas A&M, but let's get to the phone lines one more time on this Friday afternoon. 334-321-1390. Spectre, you're on the line, my friend. What do you think about this game tomorrow?
Well, it's the second game in that four-game stretch I was telling you about.
That's right.
And I tell you what, if I was a betting guy, and sometimes I am, but if I was betting on the game, I would take A&M. But my heart tells me I got to go with Auburn. I believe the score will probably be something similar, like 34-23 A&M.
Okay.
But I'm turning that score around to 34-23 Auburn.
Wow.
And simply because we've got to do it. If we don't do it and this looks ugly for us, we're going to be talking a whole different ball game Monday.
Well, Spectre, with your confidence, one reason Auburn wins the football game because of
Coleman.
Okay,
I love it.
That's a decent.
I mean,
speaking of a betting man, Coleman, that's a good one to bet on.
Yeah, Coleman's got to find a way to take up the slack. The offense ain't giving him. I mean, it's awful. And if we have a good offensive line play, we're gonna win that score 34-23. If we don't, it's going to be the other way around.
All right. I like it. Spectre, appreciate you calling in and being a part of the show, my friend.
See you guys.
Spectre getting in right here at the end. So he likes 34-23, but he's taking Auburn to do it. His heart tells him, what do you say? His heart tells him A&M, but he's picking Auburn because they've got to get it done. And
I think his brain's telling him A&M, but his heart's telling him Auburn.
Gotcha.
Well, and that's never come back to haunt. Anybody.
Any Auburn fan ever, right? But you think about what he's talking about there. So we got a few minutes here as we make our final descent. And if Auburn doesn't win this weekend, it's going to be a long 2 weeks because Auburn's on a bye next week, and then Georgia comes to town for a night game at Jordan-Hare, which will be nice to get back home regardless for a couple of games in a row. But the difference between 4-1 with a top 10 win and a bye week to correct anything else you didn't do on Saturday and get an extra week to really hype up Georgia coming in versus 3-2 where you don't have a whole lot of confidence, right? You don't have a whole lot of hope. That's a big difference, man. the big difference between 4-1 and 3-2, just from a mindset and a fan buy-in perspective. They'll still get up for the Georgia game, but it won't feel the same.
Well, no, I mean, it's the same mentality of that 1-0 versus 0-1, the win in Waco, right? I mean, now the ability to go and win in College Station, a place that you've had success winning over the past decade of playing in this rivalry since they joined the SEC. But yes, if you're 3-2 with the bye, and it's something we've talked about where if that's – we talked about that as that's the worst thing that could happen. Now, as much as that sucks to say, that is the worst that it could be. And 5 weeks ago, you would have been okay with that scenario. And they're going to get up in Jordan-Hare in a couple of weeks when Georgia comes to town. But it would have that same feeling of what it's had the past couple of years of, let's see if we can ruin their season. Let's see if we can find a way to pull off an upset. Let's find a way if we can go and do something and see if Jordan-Hare magic can work again. But it won't be because of the talent on the field. It's a different story already with the talent on the field. But a 4-1 start with a top 10 win. If you win, you'll move into the top 20 probably because the AP poll wants to hype up that Auburn-Georgia game. And then Auburn won't play anybody and they'll move to the top 15 after the bye week because that's how the AP poll works. They'll make this a very big game. And man, it feels like this win is not necessary. But gosh, if there's one that you would give anything, give that little extra to go ahead and secure it, it would be this game on Saturday.
Correct me if I'm wrong. From the people we've talked to on the air this week or off the air, what you've seen on social media, yes, Auburn is the underdog here, but it wouldn't be just this overbearing, shocking surprise if Auburn goes on the road and wins this game tomorrow.
No, not at all. And that goes back to what I talked about at 2:30 of the fact of despite everything that happened in Norman, you feel like although it was a loss on the scoreboard, you saw that this Auburn team was legit, and you're now going into the home of a number 9 team in the country, and you're less than a touchdown underdog.
Which I'll say this, I don't think Texas A&M is a top 10 team. That might be crazy to say. I think they're very good, but I don't think they're a top 10 team in college football. Not yet. They could come out and show it tomorrow, and I could eat my words on Monday, and I'll happily do it. And they'll have every chance to do it the rest of the way in SEC play. But I don't think they're a top 10 team yet. And so hopefully Auburn doesn't get hung up on that idea. Yes, you're going on the road. Yes, it's in the SEC. And yes, it's in back-to-back weeks. But you're not, this isn't David versus Goliath here.
No.
Don't get hung up on number 9 versus an unranked squad. This is a good matchup for both teams. And what I'm looking for is for Auburn to correct the mistakes they made a week ago. Can you overcome bad special teams decisions? Can you overcome stupid penalties like false starts and holdings and blocks in the back? Can you get out of your own way and find a way to win a football game? It's not going to be given to you. Mike Elko and his squad are very well coached and execute at a high level. They will not give this game to you. The question will be, can Hugh Freeze and Auburn go and take it?
I think this is a lower scoring game than people are imagining it to be.
You like it between the 30s?
I don't. Maybe you meant like yard line, not score wise.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Yes, I do think so. And I think that as much as we want to see Auburn use tempo, the best way that you can keep Marcel Reed and this offense off the field is by you controlling the drives, going back to those 6-minute touchdown drives. I think Auburn covers, but I think there's a mistake in there. I have Texas A&M 24-20.
I like Texas A&M 31-24. I think Auburn's got to have every chance to win it again, but the same things that have plagued them. Until I see it, I just can't believe it. And if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong happily on Monday. And we'll be back on Monday, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Hey, tune in, Wings 94.3 tonight.